You know what they say? It's where the girls are, with girls in quotes.
Interesting. I've never really thought about, like, the implications of that.
Come on, how have you not? It's, like, the best part of anything in Atlantic City is that the girls and where the girls are is in quotes.
I mean, yeah, I've always just laughed at it because, like, quotes for emphasis.
I think in the old days, they used quotes for emphasis, right? But these days...
Right, like, there was a whole Tumblr that was quotes for emphasis, but yeah.
That is not what quotes are for.
Right.
Where the girls are.
Girls, question mark?
Yeah, exactly. Howdy, it's Thursday, April 24th, 2025, and this is episode 252 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Hockey playoffs are fun.
Yeah.
They're fun until they go bad.
You know what's not good? The Orioles. The Orioles are really not good.
They look really bad. The rotation is bad.
Oh, they're just a bad team, right?
It's time to fire some people. Let's fire some people.
Gonna be under 500 this year? Like, it just does not seem like there's a good team there.
It's crazy because they still have all the talent in the world. They just didn't bolster the team at
all.
Right,
they have the same team basically as last year. I mean, their pitching's the worst, but...
Yeah, like, I don't know, sign some people? That was the thing that they could have done all offseason.
I mean, maybe Henderson's still, like, a little bit hurt or coming back or whatever, and, like, maybe he'll get better. But what about Rutschman? At this point, is he just, like, he is what he is, and that's what he's going to be?
Wieters 2.0.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think he's even maybe a bit worse than Wieters now.
Yeah, it's terrible to think about. All right, nobody else cares about this stuff.
All right.
We're delving into talking about the Padres, like, you can bet on that. And then Mark always has to be like, okay, no more of this.
Yes. I mean, I think you are the Mark of this podcast, surely. Even though I think there's more on the surface similarities between me and Mark.
Right, personality-wise.
Yeah, and, like, our interest in math and et cetera, but...
I hate math.
You're the one that kind of drives this podcast, so.
I'll take it. The listeners really drive the podcast, such as Tom L., who emailed with an always, once, never, that we thought we had done before, but we can't find any proof of that. And certainly we're not going to go back and listen to every always, once, never segment to make sure that we don't do a repeat. So we're just going to do it. We're going to let it rip and hope we haven't done it before. His suggestion is guys trip, couples trip, solo trip. One always, one once, and one never.
I mean, this is pretty obvious, I think, right?
I mean, not for the once, I don't think. I mean, you can't do couples trip or solo trip always.
Right. Obviously. It's a clear guys trip always, couple trip once, solo trip never again, I think.
I actually thought you were going to say solo trip once.
No, because
of your personality.
I mean, I would be sad, certainly, if I never went to Atlantic City by myself again, but... What does doing that once more, like, really give me?
Obviously, guys trip always for me as well. I've never done a solo trip. I've done quite a few couples trips. So for me, I think I would go solo trip once, not as, like, you know...
Just because that does add something to your life that you haven't experienced yet.
Right, yeah. I would just go somewhere else with my wife. We would go to New York City or, you know, which is actually what we've done lately instead of going to Atlantic
Like, I
City.
Certainly go to Horseshoe or whatever plenty or, like, other casinos, so...
Yeah, I don't get any of that.
Yeah,
I should just be at Mohegan Sun every weekend by myself.
That's close, I hear. Certainly.
It's like, you know, 3 hours in traffic. It's fine.
How fast is the train that goes to the station with the bus pickup or whatever? Because there's a free bus, right, from New London or at some station, right, to Mohegan Sun or no?
There certainly used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, you know, the added time of getting to the train and then waiting for a train.
That's true, because you're in the deep Jersey burbs these days, so...
We're 10 miles from Newark. It's not that far, but it is funny. I'm 19 miles from the city, like driving 19 miles, not like, if you draw a straight line. And still, it's like, it takes like an hour.
Oh, I mean.
It takes 35 minutes when I have an 11:30 hockey game at night.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of news this episode. Stuff that we've been waiting on because we had so much trip report to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of news will happen between now and the 6 days from now when I actually get this episode posted.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, something we sort of alluded to in our trip report episode because we saw Mark Colazzo at the Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Cuzzies and Rhythm and Spirits, which are also owned by Mark Colazzo, who also owns Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, are going to be replaced by new restaurants. A link to a 97.3 ESPN.com article.
Which we have announced that, but we didn't know what the new restaurants were going to be then, right?
Yeah, so they've brought in Sal Spina to manage and part-own the restaurants. I think he also has an ownership stake now in Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall as well. And the restaurants are going to be Isabella's Italian Pizza Kitchen, and I'll give you a quote from Sal Spina. It will specialize in authentic Italian cuisine with a modern twist. The menu will feature wood-fired pizzas cooked in an 800-degree Forno Bravo oven, artisanal sandwiches, fresh salads, and traditional Sicilian-inspired sauces made with high-quality ingredients. So, Italian place. And then the second place, Pauly's Steak Italiano, another quote, will combine classic steakhouse offerings with bold Italian flavors. Signature dishes will include osso buco and lobster ravioli. In the evening, Pauly's will transition into a lively late-night destination. What do you think about these two places? Are you excited to go to either of them?
Sure. I'd go to either.
You're not a big Italian lover, and this is a lot of Italian.
I like pizza. I like turtles. I would try either. I would have no problems trying either.
Spina used to be at... He's actually the food and beverage director at Showboat most recently. But he's previously been at Borgata, Taj, Golden Nugget.
Is that good?
He was the owner and chef at Portobello Ristorante in downtown Ocean City. I think he's very well respected, which maybe Showboat would not have you believe. But I wonder if he was one of the guys who was there talking to Mark Colazzo when we were at Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. That's what I want to know.
It's possible.
I think I said on the last episode that I feel like Rhythm and Spirits just kind of ran its course. So I'm excited for new options. I am not sure what Atlantic City needs is more Italian. I feel like there's a lot.
there's a lot of Italian.
But I'm interested to see how these do. Obviously, I like the idea of a cocktail place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how the atmosphere changes from Rhythm and Spirits, because I feel like that was one thing that it was very bright in there, which is odd for a cocktail loungey kind of place.
Yep.
The other things next to it, the chocolate bar, and there's actually a cigar lounge, I think, right next to there now, are unaffected by this, but something to keep an eye out for when these things open. The other news related to our trip report, I feel, is that not in time for me to stay there, Claridge is getting room renovations.
It seemed like it was needed from when I was in your room.
So there's a picture of them on the Claridge's Facebook site. I have to say it looks sort of West Tower-y to me.
Yeah, it's the linoleum flooring that makes it look West Tower.
Yeah, the fake wood flooring, very beige, nothing on the walls. It looks clean and nice, but I, certainly say the Centurion Tower renovations look far nicer than this.
Yeah, I mean, it looks generically nice, though.
Yeah, it needs something to make it pop. I feel like a lot of the Vegas rooms have done a great job with that. Some of the newer Atlantic City renovated rooms have done a good job. Even the Bally's Tower, I thought, looked really nice. This feels very, generic hotel, decent-looking hotel.
Need to put some bright-colored stencil above the beds or something on that piece of wall, right?
Yep, just something to give it some personality.
The people seem angry about it on the Facebook.
Why?
I don't know. They're like... I love the classic rooms are one of the main reasons, blah, blah, blah. It was beautiful and historic before, according to other comments.
Yeah.
People are dumb.
Looks like a motel drab. That's one of the comments. Somebody said it's creepy and feels haunted in the Claridge.
I mean, that's, I can see it. That's true. I think that's a good comment.
There are rumors that the Claridge is being redeveloped in some way. I don't want to get into all that. I know there's been a bunch of headlines, but I feel like feels to me like one of those things that we're never going to hear about again. So yeah. I'll wait until we get more detail about that.
I mean, you found your Claridge stay certainly passable, right? So
yeah.
We enjoyed the view.
That's true. So speaking of room renovations, Ocean. First and foremost, they are in the process of changing the sign to match the actual logo rather than the old Ocean logo that's been on the side of the building since it opened as Ocean. So that, I think, is almost done. They've announced $50 million of renovations, including, much like the Claridge, new room renovations, which I think they actually need to refresh the rooms a little bit. They're announcing two new star restaurants, which are going to be on the lobby level in the former Harper's and Sky Cafe spaces, which you may recognize as the spaces that were going to be occupied by the Michael Scholson restaurants that fell through, which we talked about in multiple episodes of this podcast. So we've already talked about a couple restaurant concepts. How about these for you? There's a Forbes article that I will link to that says one of the restaurants will be an Americana concept featuring comfort food, seemingly only open for breakfast and lunch.
So when I think of comfort food, I do not think of breakfast and lunch. I feel like it's more like...
Oh, really? I think of pancakes and...
Oh, yeah. No, maybe I'm thinking more of like soul food or whatever. Isn't that comfort food? I don't know. Like your collard greens and your cuts of meat.
Well, one thing I did not mention about these star restaurants. So you'll recognize the Star Restaurant Group as the owners of the Continental and Budokan. Same company. So has a history in Atlantic City for sure.
Yeah.
So Steven Starr, who owns this Star Restaurant Group, said that the Americana concept is going to offer a nostalgic menu of comfort foods that are familiar and beloved by all. And one of the things he said was like Thanksgiving dinner all year round. I don't know how
but
I feel
about that.
But it's
still not breakfast or lunch, right? Just not breakfast or lunch.
Are you going and eating that for lunch?
Like, I don't need that at 1 p.m. or whatever.
Yeah, or like 11. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Just be sleeping until 5.
Yeah. So the other place will be French food, including steak, salmon, lobster with frites, in addition to a few a la carte offerings. Seems like it's going to be a, I never know how to pronounce it, prefee menu, like a set price menu. So we'll see how that goes. I have to say I was more excited about the Scholson options than these, although I do like the star restaurants that I've been to.
I only thought Budokan was okay. I didn't love it for the cost, I think. Continental was very good.
Yeah, I liked Continental a lot. I've been to the Continental in Philadelphia. I think I've been to one other star restaurant in Philadelphia, and I liked all of them. I didn't think there was any chance that they would bring back the Continental to Atlantic City, although, of course, my first hope was, like, let's do something like that, and neither of these things are similar. But, yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes. I think you can't fault the track record, so I expect that both of these places will be good. Yeah. I'm interested to see what the price point is on this French place. It seems like it could be very expensive. Ocean, among these renovations, has also announced new places going into the district food court area, including high steaks, cheesesteaks, blend smoothies.
Cheesesteaks and dispensary?
Should be.
High steaks.
It's a gambling pun, Kyle.
Not a dispensary pun.
There's also a new Italian restaurant, which they've said is going across from Villain and Saint, which I can't tell what that means. And I've looked at the floor plan. Like, is it replacing Rocco's? Is it going in the former Serendipity 3 space? I wouldn't really call that across from Villain and Saint. It's called La Scala's Fire. That's an Italian chain with 7 locations in and around Philadelphia. It seems like some of the locations are more casual and some of them are like nicer dining room sort of areas. So I can't tell which direction they're going to go at Ocean. I would guess the more casual side, but good to see more restaurants at Ocean. There's also something, some store from Sammy Sweetheart, who you'll know from...
I promise I won't.
Jersey Shore.
I don't know.
Which, how is this person famous enough still? I mean, they're probably just paying for like licensing rights, but still, like how does this carry any sort of cachet in 2025? I don't really understand.
Never in my life saw a Jersey Shore. I know your guys' room in college, you guys watched a lot of them, right? But yeah. No, I've never seen one.
I mean, it's a legendary show. You'll appreciate this, though. They're doubling the size of the Asian gaming area.
That does sound good.
And then one last thing, Ocean's 18 mini golf and bar. I, for one, appreciate using the name Ocean's, since everyone calls it Oceans anyway.
Right.
Their April Fool's joke, actually, I think, was that they were going to rename the casino Oceans on Facebook. But no, instead we get Oceans 18 Mini Golf and Bar. It says it's on the casino level next to La Scala's Fire, which doesn't mean anything to anyone because La Scala's Fire does not exist yet. I need some more specifics. I've stared at the floor plan. I cannot figure out where this is going because it's supposedly 2 levels. When I first saw the pictures, I was like, oh, that's the 1927 space, but that's clearly not correct. I don't know if you've looked at any of the pictures of this Ocean's 18 golf / bar. They're using like 3D holographic art. There's going to be a big hologram shark above the bar. Mini golf and drinking sounds awesome to me.
Is there more pictures than just the one that's in the article that you linked? Because
nope.
I mean, that doesn't even have mini golf in it.
It's in the back behind the bar. 8,000 square feet on two floors. Hologram installation similar to the technology used at Las Vegas's Sphere. That's according to phillyvoice.com, which I will link to. The course will be open sometime in the second half of the summer. I'm excited.
No, I'm not terribly excited about that, but I'll try it once. My expectations are extremely low.
I think that's probably reasonable, given the track record. Right. You know, it's not like a BART project. It's not a BART Blatstein project.
Right. Ocean has the track record is like one. Yeah, Ocean's one step above.
Yeah, like Ocean
track record. I think
what's giving me optimism is that Ocean does very well. So, like, they should be able to do this. Like, it's not like they're hurting for revenue, but like 1927 bar is just kind of there. Like, I feel like they talked that up as a thing. I mean, they redid the sports book very well, but yeah, other stuff. Serial Town was such a long time ago.
Prince of Monaco cereal.
But certainly in that era of Ocean, like initial opening era of Ocean, there was a lot of this sort of stuff that felt very half-assed.
I mean, and the most legendary project of all, the ropes course that was fully installed and then fully uninstalled before anyone used it.
That was Glenn Straub era before hedge funds, which
it's just incredible.
You can't possibly question how well a hedge fund
just
will
set up in the middle of the parking garage.
Maybe this is in the middle of the parking garage.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's good.
I mean, I think the rendering looks interesting. I'll go check it out. If it just looks like, you know, 18 golf holes in a warehouse, I'll be very disappointed. But I should probably calibrate my expectations for that, right?
Yeah. It's going to be like Monster Golf, if you've ever been to that chain. I don't know if it's nationwide or just this area, but...
No. They have it here. I've somehow avoided the two birthday parties that my kids have gone to at Monster Mini Golf.
I mean, which, I don't know. Like, if Borgata was going to do this, I'd be like, you know, that's probably going to be very nice. And, like, I'd be a little bit excited. Ocean's just going to half-ass this, and it's not going to be great.
Perfect segue to mention Borgata making changes.
Mm-hmm.
Lou D. emailed us a month ago saying that all the Borgata Comedy Club shows after March 29th were showing up as canceled on Ticketmaster.
Did he email us, like, months ago? Because it's month past March 29th.
It was March 22nd.
All right.
So I did some poking around, and I found a group on Facebook called Borgata Casino Fan Club, in all caps. And it says that the comedy club is being done away with for a new concept. So if you can trust some random poster on Borgata Casino Fan Club, in all caps, Facebook group, the Borgata Comedy Club is done. What I don't understand is, like, it was just at the Music Box Theater. It wasn't, like, its own club.
Yeah,
so what do you
I don't
like
know.
It's being done away with for a new concept. I don't understand.
I don't understand. Presumably, you could still have major acts come in there and perform it in the theater, so.
Right.
Yeah. I don't get it,
I'm
guess.
Confused.
Yeah.
The other thing about Borgata is that James H. emailed to say that B-Bar reopens on May 9th.
Are you excited? I mean, it's not going to be as good as it was, certainly. But
yeah, I'm sure the video poker is going to suck. That's just my assumption.
It might be 8.5 or something.
Yeah, that would be fine. I like the renderings. It looked very bright, looks very different. I know people really love the B-Bar space. I think it was time for a change.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what it's like. Hopefully they actually have all the video poker machines working, because my biggest complaint about B-Bar lately was machines would be broken. It was already hard to get on a machine before, and then when, you know, 40% of the machines are broken, or 25%, you know, you've got even less machines. And then you do get on one, and it's, like, shining directly in your eyes, or, you know, something's messed
the,
up about
it. The curse machine. I do have to say it was nice at the B-Bar before, how the way they had the TV set up on, like, the inside of the ceiling of the B-Bar or whatever, that you could see, like, four or five screens at one time.
Yep.
That was cool.
That was good. So I don't think they're going to have that anymore. So that's the Borgata news. The last thing, I think, is data.
Well, James H. also said he went to the Birdcage, and it was very fun. Former Good Dog Bar.
He did. I've seen positive reviews on Facebook of the Birdcage, which is more than I can say for the Good Dog Bar.
Yeah.
I mean, I did see a couple, like, Good Dog Bar positive reviews, but mostly I just saw nothing about Good Dog Bar.
Right.
Whereas I've seen more action.
Yeah. Birdcage has, like, a specific clientele that will check it out, I think. So
yeah.
I would be open to checking it out.
Yeah, I want to go check it out. So, March 2025 revenue. March 2025 is a 5-Saturday month, but March 2024 had 5 Fridays and 5 Saturdays. So initially I was like, ooh, 5 Saturdays in March 2025, but actually there were more prime days in March 2024. So what did we get in March? I've already sort of primed everyone to expect it to be down.
It is down. It's down about 4%.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I don't feel that strongly, really, either way about it. So I think there's a couple things in putting the data together. Like, Borgata specifically had, like, quite an unlucky month, I think. And so I think if they had had just normal luck, like, they're big enough that that would have made up a decent bit of that gap, and they would have been down maybe 1 or 2% instead. Caesars also had, like, a pretty unlucky month, I think. I don't know what was up with Ocean. They were down 15%, basically, and I don't think their luck appeared that bad, so I'm not sure what the hell's going on with that. We'll see if that continues or if it was a one-time thing.
I think they had a monster month. They were up in March 2024, they were up 31% from March 2023,
okay.
So I think they just kind of came back to normal.
could have been that it was just a monster month. Although they had a worse March than January, which doesn't seem great.
That is weird.
So anyway, I don't know. I think it's pretty normal. The only up casinos were Borgata, despite their bad luck, and Hard Rock was pretty much even. Everyone else was down, some people more than others. Like I said, the number one loser was Ocean being down 15% and Gold Nugget being down 14%. Gold Nugget's numbers are real bad, right? I mean, they're down 10% for the year so far in Q1.
No, it's bad.
It's not good. They need to do something.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Caesars properties. Harrah's was basically even, and Tropicana was basically even. They were down like 0.1% each.
Mm-hmm.
Caesars, you said, had pretty bad luck. They were down 10%. But It seems weird to say that that's decent for, you know, when all of them are down. But, you know, with bad luck for Caesars, that's better than they've been, I think. So that's not terrible. Yeah, you mentioned Ocean being down a lot. Yeah, Golden Nugget's just in the mud. Like, I don't know what to say about them anymore. Like, they're just not pulling in money. It's all because we didn't go. We went to Claridge and Bally's instead.
We didn't go. Yeah, we keep saying we're going to go, and we're not going, and that's going to put them under if we don't fix that pretty soon.
I know. It really just it pulls the rug out from under them, not necessarily because of the money that we spend, but because of the amount of traffic that we drive when we go someplace. It's like Logan Paul saying he's going to be somewhere. It's like, basically, it's like the Beatles saying that they're going to play a concert.
And I hope that all of the casinos are listening to that and taking that into account with their marketing spend for Q2 coming up.
Right. Like, if we say on the podcast that we're going to be somewhere on a Thursday night, like, you better believe that revenue is following. Like, the hordes are showing up.
Look, we were at Bally's in March, right? And look, the first month above $10 million. That's very good, probably because of us.
We'll ignore that they were down 6% year over year.
Above $10 million.
Yeah. Above 11, even.
Yeah, there you go.
They were up almost 20% month over month.
Yep.
We didn't go in February. We did go in March. Mm-hmm. That's all the correlation that you need.
Yeah. Tropicana was up 25% month over month. So
just wild. Didn't they have really bad luck? I mean, 15.
Yeah.
For
15.
In any month for Tropicana is absurd. Like, that's a huge casino. All right. So any thoughts on Q1? Actually, 4 casinos up in Q1.
Yeah, and the big losers being Caesars and Gold Nugget. No surprise here.
And Bally's down 8%.
Yeah. Borg, Hard Rock, Harrah's, and Trop all up a
slightly,
little tiny bit. Yeah.
And Ocean and Resort's only down a tiny bit.
Yep. No, I don't really have any big thoughts. I mean, I think the big thoughts are kind of same as always. Like, I feel like we said how surprising it is that the three Caesars properties being just, like, so entrenched in number 4, 5, and 6 was, like, a thing we've talked about, and I think it's, like, becoming quite clear, like, Resorts is the number 7 casino, and they're not terribly close to Gold Nugget or Bally's, which I think is a bit of a surprise and a change from where things were even a year ago.
I mean, they're not, like, that far off number-wise, except that, you know, percentage-wise, it's actually pretty big. Like, they're 10% ahead of Golden Nugget, right?
And just the way that the Gold Nugget is trending, it seems like they're pulling apart from each other.
Yeah. Because that definitely felt like almost the most interchangeable of any of the orders of three, if you talk about, you know, the top three being Borgata, Hard Rock, Ocean, the middle three, Caesars, Tropicana, Harrah's. You know, sometimes Bally's would come in last, sometimes Golden Nugget would come in last, sometimes Resorts would have a bad. Now it's like, yeah, you're right. Resorts is sort of breaking apart a little bit from them.
No, and we'll say profit, but everyone did have a positive profit this year, which is good. Bally's was very, very slightly positive, but we'll see. I mean, I think Bally's and Gold Nugget still are sort of in the danger zone, but we'll save the profit talk for another time.
Yeah.
Anyway, if If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content on doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter, doforawin, or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions to doforawin@gmail.com, and we will answer them on air and send your always, once, nevers.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Very short episode.
Yeah, there wasn't too much to talk about.
I could use a short episode. The editing has been tough, let me say.
Yeah.
Just because work has been kicking me right up the backside.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think I shouldn't even say it. I was going to say I think I'm finishing up some of the administrative stuff that's not just content, but that's never true. They just like throw another thing at you as soon as one thing's done. Like, oh, you're off this committee? Guess what? Here's another committee. They meet 6 times a week.
That's a lot of times a week.
That's a slight exaggeration.
That's every day and twice on one day.
Yes. All at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man. One meeting at 8 a.m., one meeting at 4 p.m. or whatever.
Never have a job with responsibility, I would suggest. Or just never have a job.
Never accept any promotions. That's really the lesson here.
Certainly don't accept a promotion where you don't get any more pay or even a title change.
I don't know what you were doing there.
My supervisor likes to say that I was voluntold to do this.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll be back at you in a couple weeks after this post, which who knows when that'll be.
It is very weird. It feels like I just posted the last episode and then we're recording again.
I mean, you sort of did, but...
Yeah.
We didn't just record the last episode.
Hey, so. Data says to post it on Monday. Oh, one thing we didn't talk about was Darude Sandstorm.
Oh, you're gonna get another one of our episodes off the internet?
Yeah, so if you're on Spotify... And one of the episodes is mysteriously missing. I won't mention which one. It is because I thought it would be very funny to end an episode with like 2 full minutes of a song.
Yeah,
that is copyrighted.
I was gonna say that like, hey, there's like fair use that wasn't fair. And then I thought back and I'm like, oh no, that was like 2 minutes of the song. They're probably in the right here.